kidnappings, extortion cases have very much been part of our conversation here in Cape Town over the last few weeks and months. I'm sure you saw a video posted on social media, I think just last week, of a woman being hijacked. Apparently a Ukrainian woman living in South Africa, and her luxury vehicle being sandwiched in by between two vehicles and people coming in and taking her from their car. Particularly a business community in Cape Town being targeted, particularly Pakistani, Bangladeshi business owners being taken for ransom in Cape Town just over the last few months. It's a very, very difficult conversation to have, because the insurance companies don't want to talk to you, because they say, well, you are simply raising awareness amongst criminals that people may have ransom insurance, for example. It's also a very, very difficult conversation to have with the people who've been involved and have been released in these kidnappings, because they've been warned on the pain of death that if you say anything, we'll come back for you. It's very, very interesting what's happening in South Africa and Cape Town at the moment, but we're not alone. If you look at comparative democracies like Colombia, Mexico, Nigeria, all experiencing or have experienced similar phenomena when it comes to organized crime. Joining me now is Lobodas Neves. He is an international law enforcement expert and has done work with the Federal Bureau of Investigations in the United States when it comes to investigating kidnapping and extortion cases. Lobo, joining us all the way from Japan this moment. Is it correct to state that South Africa, not the only country with this current phenomenon? Mexico, Colombia, Nigeria, all sort of comparative democracies, also economies, suffering the same fate at the moment. Why is that so? Why can we compare countries like Colombia, Mexico, Nigeria to what is happening in South Africa at the moment?
Well, the one thing that these countries have in common is what we call the narco-state culture. Syndicates, drug-driven syndicates, control certain areas where they have a strong foothold, not only within geographical areas, but also within government and more specifically within law enforcement. And they use that as a stronghold to exercise these criminal acts within those areas.
Is it a indicator of a failing state when it comes to policing and its ability to investigate large networks of organized criminals?
Well, any crime that's committed is really a sign of law enforcement failure. However, you are totally correct in saying that when there is a general law enforcement failure within a certain area, for some reason, kidnappings for ransom do escalate phenomenally.
Why is it such a difficult conversation to have, particularly if, one, you're trying to raise awareness amongst the public, two, hold politicians and police officers accountable, but at the same time being aware that if we talk about how communities, people safeguard themselves, you are equally providing information and maybe even inspiration to criminals who may not have seen this as part of their basket of crimes that they do, and now they think, oh, let's get into this game of kidnapping people and holding them for ransom. Why is it such a difficult conversation to have from a policing level?
You are more responsible, I think, than most journalists in realizing that just publishing news has to be done responsibly. As you rightfully say, it's not just the good guys that listen to the radio and watch TV, it's the bad guys too, and they learn. So the insurance companies are very sensitive over what information they give out, and I think the media needs to follow that example, because you don't want to create the impression that this is an enterprise worth entering into, because otherwise there'll be a huge escalation very quickly with these hijackings and ransoms for money, or these kidnappings for money.
How do we tackle this from a policing policy perspective? Is it largely tackling narco syndicates and organized crime corporations in general, or is targeted approaches to kidnapping and extortion rackets necessary?
You need both. You can't just handle it from one aspect. So in other words, you'll need a proactive approach in seeing what measures can be taken to prevent these incidents from reoccurring, and then a very strong reactive approach in making sure that those that perpetrate these offenses are successfully brought to book, cases are cleared, and that the police investigation brings enough evidence to court for successful prosecutions. Then, very importantly, law enforcement very often stops at the conviction point, which is not good enough. After conviction and before sentencing, law enforcement should provide the court with enough evidence in aggravation of sentence to provide the court the basis to punish those perpetrators far more than they may have done in the past. And without the police and without the community even giving that evidence, some of the perpetrators are not punished as hard as they should. Mm.
While we're seeing an increase, an uptick in these such crimes in Cape Town and South Africa, Lobo, have we seen any improvement in the situation in countries like Colombia, Mexico, and Nigeria? Have police and law enforcement agencies have any upper hand in dealing with these particular crimes?
Well, there are different results and different actions taken in those different areas. So let's start with Nigeria. What has happened is most of the kidnappings for ransom in Nigeria occurred with foreign businessmen being kidnapped, or their families being kidnapped. So what has happened is the foreign companies have contracted with private contractors to supply security for those expat employees, which is similarly done in South America as well. South America, they have especially trained police units that investigate these things, and they are experienced and trained now to deal with this very effectively from the time the person is taken until the time that person is released. The courts also frown upon anybody that's involved in a kidnapping, so they put them in jail for a very, very long time. So there are different approaches, but in general, the government has information sessions with people that are high-risk kidnapping targets, and give them information on how to avert as far as possible being kidnapped, and what to do if you are, and what not to do if you are, etc.
It does appear that these networks have really sophisticated systems, and if you look at them, we've seen some of the videos, it looks as if people have been tracked and traced for a long time. It's a coordinated effort of more than one vehicle, of multiple people involved. It does really speak to that an organized crime syndicate network operation is far more sophisticated and technologically advanced than we may want to believe.
Well, unfortunately, the criminals watch TV and they watch videos, and believe it or not, a lot of their planning is formed around that. And unfortunately, many TV programs are very explicit in showing exactly how to do a kidnapping. So they are trained and experienced, and every time they kidnap somebody, next time they will be better at it. These things are definitely planned. There is very hardly a case where there's just a ransom or a random kidnapping for ransom off a whim. So they'll make use of intelligence. They'll either engage with an employee of the intended victim, or they will surveil them, or both. They'll look at routes. They'll look at the routes that the intended victim uses. They look at escape routes. They'll have safe houses set up before the time. The whole bunch of things they'll do to pre-plan it and make sure that the execution goes smoothly. Communication, they'll get ghost phones. They will have blocking devices. They'll have all the equipment ready.
Lobo Das Neves is an international law enforcement expert, has done work with the FBI, particularly looking at the phenomena of kidnappings and extortion, working with the FBI, particularly looking at countries, similar democracies like Colombia, Mexico, Nigeria. We're not alone in this. It is simply just another reality of a crumbling state in South Africa. Lobo, thanks so much for joining us.